Okay, the first thing I have to say to all of you before I even begin is, thank you all for praying for me. I've been so encouraged these past few weeks by all of your texts and emails and notes, and just really appreciative of that. Thank you so much. Now let's talk about cooking, because that's my favorite topic. Okay, so I want you all to take a moment and think about a really great meal that you had. What was it about the meal that made it so great? Was it the flavors? Was it the vegetables? They were just perfectly cooked, not too soft, not too crisp. Was it the sauce? Was it the meat? It melted in your mouth like butter? Or was it the atmosphere? Was it the table that you were around? Was it a cozy restaurant? Was it a table outside? Was it the people that you were with? Was it the conversation that you had? I love a good meal and everything that goes along with it. And I want to show you a clip of some people enjoying a really good meal. This is from a movie called Chocolat. It's one of my favorite movies. And I can see a lot of you have seen it. If you haven't, you should put it on your list because it's really great. So I'm going to show you this clip. Maybe. If not, then Dee Dee will help me. No? So as you saw the faces as they were eating the food, and then it was all music for a while, right? But then you could start hearing the laughter and the enjoyment, not just of the food, but the company. And that's what I so love about a meal. And my love for meals began basically at birth. I grew up around a large Italian family. So I was born into a home. There's my home. In Massachusetts, in a small town in Massachusetts with my mom and my dad and my grandfather and my great aunt. So there they are. There's me in the middle. I was always in the middle. My mother was the only English-speaking person in our house. So I grew up with a very large extended family, and I was immersed in Italian culture and food and family, and I loved my extended family. So this is a photo. So let me just tell you, Italians, they don't camp, okay? There's no camping with Italians. They go to the campagna, which is the country. So this is my Italian family in the country, their version of camping. This is before I came along, because that's my mother in the middle. Pretty fun picture. There's my mom again with my grandfather next to her on this side. Oh, and I'm still kind of in the middle. Yeah. So that's my family. So I loved getting together with our extended family and having meals, and Italians have this amazing ability to be in one conversation and listen to another conversation. Like, one ear is over here and one ear is over here. It's amazing. So you can be talking to someone and totally tracking with what's going on over here and then correct them if they're not saying the right thing and then go right back to this conversation. It's really remarkable. So I was an only child, if you haven't picked up on that yet, and I was spoiled. Now, for some of you in this room who might be a little young, you might not be able to understand this, but when I was growing up, the end-all, be-all toy for me was Barbie, okay? And as I was growing up, Barbie was just starting to get a few more things besides her clothes and her cool shoes. So she got the car, which I had, and she got the camper, which I had, and she got the airplane, which I had. But the thing that every girl my age wanted more than anything was the Barbie townhouse. It was two stories, and it had an elevator. So one of my friends who is here tonight, I'll be like Steve, I won't look in the right direction. One of my friends who is here tonight, whenever she tries to describe to someone how spoiled I was, she says, she got the Barbie townhouse. So my mother told me that I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I believed her. My father was a professional chef, trained in Italy. My mother was a professional baker, and my grandfather was a professional eater. No sooner had my mom sat down for breakfast than my grandfather would be asking her what was for lunch, and then during lunch, what was for dinner. I loved my grandfather. By the time I came along, he had retired from his job as a tailor in the town that we grew up in, so he spent a lot of his time making me the best-dressed little girl in town. There's my grandpa. That's one of the dresses he made me. And now you'll see a few more. If I can get this to work. There we go. And please notice the purse. And the purse. So my grandfather, he was very well respected in our town. So not only amongst our family, but also in the town as a whole. So people would come to our house to ask his advice on things. And he would hold court, seriously. Like, he had this big red chair, very high, and he was, you know, my height, my whole family. I didn't have a fighting chance, all 5 feet. And he would sit in his chair, and people would come and ask him, and he would dispense advice to them. And my mother would bring in the food. I could never tell if they were coming for his advice or the food, but our house was always filled with people. I wish I could sit there a little longer, but my notes are over here. Okay. So, So I'm going to go to my dad now. My dad grew up in Sicily, and he came to America when he married my mom at age 35, and he retained his thick, heavy Italian accent till the end. Rossa Mary, that's what he called me. As I mentioned, he was a chef, and he was never more happy than when people were eating his food. So one of my very favorite movies, because this is my dad, is Big Night. And if you've never seen it, you should rent it. It's about these two Italian brothers who come from Italy and open a restaurant in America in the 1930s. And I'm going to show you a scene where they make this dish. It's called timpano, and my dad has made it before. If Pam Nguyen is here, she's eaten it before, because my dad has made it for her. And the other night, some friends of ours, Tim Kuros made it for some friends of ours, and we ate it. But this is a scene. It's a very difficult dish to make. So this is a scene where they're having this big dinner party. Oh, no, they're my parents, my grandparents and my mom. Forgot about that. Here's the scene.
No, save this one for Louis, please. Okay. tempo che... Caccia le mani.
That's so my dad.
I don't know. We have to serve now. I mean, okay. Okay. No, wait. Cut the table. Okay. 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 I worry it's going to be too hot. It's going to fall apart.
That's what I say. Is it too hot?
No, no, no. We don't have time for too hot. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Christian, open the door.
What is that?
It's timpano. It's a secret recipe that they brought from their hometown. I only heard about it. I never had it before.
This is so good, I should kill you.
Paradise!
Italians can be a little dramatic. I've never been accused of that. So, about my mom. My mom was a phenomenal person. She was the glue in our extended family. Everyone loved my mom. That's her first communion picture. She demonstrated such care and compassion for everyone that she came across. She was the best aunt, she was the best sister, the best daughter, the best wife, the best friend, and she was the best mom. Everyone confided in my mom. She was one of the dearest women that you would ever meet. I'll show you a few more pictures of her. It's her and her brother. She's very stylish, too. I love this one. Okay, so my mother at age 35 ran away from home. Seriously. She waited that long. 35, she ran away from home and flew to Sicily and married my father. She lied to her dad, told him she was going to New York. She wrote him a letter on the plane and said, I went to Sicily to marry John. Well, really his name was Santo. So there are my parents in Sicily. My mother looks terrified, like, what have I done? There's the wedding, the big Italian family. This is one of my favorite pictures of my mom. I love that picture of her. Okay, so I think I mentioned this, but my mom, her assessment of me was off the charts. I mean, just really off the charts. But she was so sure of herself and her belief in me that I believed her. And so then my assessment of myself was off the charts. My mom passed away 22 years ago. And for the people who knew her, I am a little glimpse of her. When I go back east, this is what I hear the most often. Rosemary. The splitting image of your mother. Mark, come here, look at her. Everybody, her mother. It's the thing I most love to hear. Yeah, they all talk like that, even my mother. So my parents had different styles of cooking. My dad was the kind of person who just, he was creative, he just put things together, he threw things in, very similar to the way Bonnie cooks. That's a compliment. But trying to get a recipe out of him, forget about it. So I'd say, you know, he could give me the ingredients, but how much? No. A cup, a half a cup. He'd say, Rosemary, you look, you see, you taste. My mother, on the other hand, followed recipes, primarily when she baked, because baking is a science. So I gained a great appreciation for a recipe. But sometimes, even when you're following a recipe, what you're making doesn't turn out the way you planned. Or the meal doesn't turn out the way you thought it would. Or the conversation goes in a different direction. And so it has been for me. The meal I had envisioned for my life, the food, and the people around the table have not been what I thought. There is still food, and there are still people, but it has looked very different. I wanted what I grew up with, and I just assumed it would be that way for me. I had a great growing up experience. I continued to believe my mother's assessment of me even into junior high. Yeah. So now you get to see pictures of me and the evolution of my hair. There I am at the beach. I know, Mo, I spent a lot of time at the beach. I know, it's surprising. Oh, this is my best friend, John Salemi. He lived across the street from me. We were like this. I loved John. Oh. So there was this show on TV when I was a kid called Family Affair. Yeah. And the girl in it was Buffy. And that's a Buffy shirt. I know. Okay, look at those curls. Mm-hmm. And my peace sign necklace. Mm-hmm. And my dad's pants. Nice. Oh, here's junior high. Look what has happened to my hair. And look at that cool blue silk top. Oh, I was styling. And my brown dittos. Yeah. And now the hair is starting to get poofy. And poofier. Yep. Okay. So I loved school. I had a ton of friends. I succeeded academically without even trying. And I didn't get into any trouble. I was raised Catholic, and I had a belief in God and Jesus, but I didn't really understand any sort of relationship component. And I never had read the Bible. I went to UCSB for college. And my sophomore year, I had a neighbor. His name was John. And every week, he invited me to go to InterVarsity Christian Group. And every week, I said no to this guy. Because I was like, Bible freaks? I don't think so. So every week I said no. And he asked me every week from September until April. And finally, I was just so tired of this guy asking me. I thought, I'm going to get him off my back. I'll just go once, make him happy. I was the easiest, fastest convert to faith that you have ever seen in your entire life. Like, God loves me? Well, of course he does. Why wouldn't he? Oh, he wants to have a relationship with me? I love relationships. I'd love to have one. The whole concept of sin I thought I was a pretty fantastic person. And so that part, like, I didn't think I needed to repent for anything. So that part just sort of escaped me. As the years have gone by, and I've gotten to know my God, and I've gotten to know myself in view of who God is. I've definitely understood what he did for me, the mercy that he showed me, the grace that he demonstrated. But at that time, I sure didn't. And I would say the flavors of my meals changed. You know, they started to have more depth to them. And the conversations became more meaningful. And God asked me to come in and dine with him. And I was so delighted to. I couldn't wait. And I was really delighted by his people. Still am. As I mentioned, the meals and the people around the table have not been what I hoped for. I was sure I would get married and have children and live in a home filled with lots of people and lots of activity. And that hope has not been fulfilled for me. And that's been hard. The faces of my husband and children have not emerged around my table, but other faces have. I have been invited into families. Parents have shared their children with me. Husbands have come over and fixed my thermostat or hooked up my computer. I've been surrounded with care and friendship, financial help, basically community. I have some friends whose children have called me Aunt Rosemary since they first began to talk. One of them is here tonight. They call me Aunt Ro now, because that's cooler, and they're older. But I have to say, the one that's here is an adult now, and she still calls me that, and I love it, because it's a title. I get to have a title, and I love that. And even without the title, I've gotten to be an aunt in a lot of other families. I have some traditions with families. I spend Christmas Eve at a family's house, and I've been doing it for 15 years, started when their kids were little. Their kids are all grown up now. I'm still spending the night. And I love it. I have a lot of other traditions and a lot of other families who welcome me in, and it's made a big difference, and it sustains me most days. But I have to say that I have made some meals out of disappointment and loneliness. And I've had to force myself to push those plates away. I'm not saying that it's not reasonable for me to be sad or lonely about the situation that I find myself in. But continuing on that path isn't sustainable, and it's really not that much fun. And it's easy for it to turn into self-pity. And one way that I've found to get outside of myself is to look for opportunities to serve. So for these past years, I've been involved in different things. I've done Young Life. Probably the highlight of all the things that I've done is youth group. So I got to spend 8 years with a group of girls that I adored. And I've been a home group leader, and I've done the gathering, and I do PowerPoint slides. I know you guys think that's nothing, but it's really tough. And I do prayer teams. And I'm not telling you all this, you know, how great I am. But really, I want to testify to what God does when I'm able to get outside of myself and look outward. And the thing that happens is, you know, I'm not doing some great benefit for the people that I'm, it's all coming back to me, you know, twofold, threefold, for sure. And I've just been so blessed by that through all the years. I've had some losses, the loss of some dreams, as I've referred to, the loss of health. I have a chronic illness that isn't much fun, the loss of a friendship, and as I look around this room, I know that a lot of you have had some losses. Health or job or marriage, disappointments, loss of relationship. I know that's hard. I think the hardest losses for me have been the people. So my mom, as I mentioned, and my dad. Oh, I forgot to show you college. My hair got poofier. Look at that. Look at that poof. And look at his face. Not good. But this is who I was getting to, was Claire. And my dear friend Matt. Gotta give me a second. I have to say, I've wrestled with God. I've been angry, and I've been disappointed, and I've told him. And in the midst of that, or maybe because of that, I have gained a depth of relationship with God that I had never experienced before. When I look around my table and those faces aren't there anymore, it's a grief that is sometimes hard to bear. And I look around this room and I see the names of other people. I'm thinking of so many right now. Paul and Steve, Ellen, Tom, Andrew, Jerry, Bill. And there are a lot of you, the names I don't know, but I know their titles. They were brother or mother. Or husband, daughter, son. And I don't mean this in any trivial way whatsoever, but my heart goes out to all of you. I forgot the Kleenex. It really does. It really does. In some ways, grief is solitary. But it's also communal. And I've had the privilege of walking through suffering and grief with people in my life. I can tell you countless ways that God has shown up in the midst of that. But the one that took me off guard was this. I've been thinking about what joy is for a while now. It's clear in Scripture that God wants us to be joyful. But I haven't been sure of what that looks like. I felt like it was missing from my life, and God showed it to me in the most unexpected place, through sorrow. So someone else can so better articulate than me, and it's Henry Nouwen. So I'm going to read this. Joy is hidden in compassion. The word compassion literally means to suffer with. It seems quite unlikely that suffering with another person would bring joy. Yet being with a person in pain, offering simple presence to someone in despair, sharing with a friend times of confusion and uncertainty, such experiences can bring us deep joy. Not happiness, not excitement, not great satisfaction, but the quiet joy of being there for someone else and living in deep solidarity with our brothers and sisters in this human family. Often this is a solidarity in weakness, in brokenness, in woundedness, but it leads us to the center of joy, which is sharing our humanity with others. Isn't that great? I love that. I wish I could tell you that I've come through the other side and all the hard parts are gone. Or that the longings that I have diminished. Or that I'm confident that some of them will be fulfilled this side of heaven. Or that at the end of the day I don't go home alone. Or the substitutes have filled the longings and made up for the people I've lost. They haven't. But he is God, and I am not. And I have chosen to throw my lot in with him, no matter what. I can tell you this, God has changed the way I hope. I used to have so much hope in this life and its circumstances, and I have learned to hope in the things of God. his promises to me that he will never leave me or forsake me, that he has prepared a place for me, that he will fill me with his Holy Spirit to guide me and use me. I have such an assuredness that I belong to God, and he has me tight in his grasp, and nothing has shaken that. I will continue to have meals, and there will continue to be people around the table. My story isn't over. And someday, I'm going to be sitting at the best banquet table with the Lord, and I'm sure the food is going to be amazing. Thank you for listening to me.
I'm going out on a limb.
Can you tell how excited I am?
You can only do this with somebody you know really well, or you want someone you want to get back at for something. Just saying. But do you have any does anyone have any questions they would like to ask Rosemary? It doesn't have to be deep. It could be anything about her. Yes, Candy. How did your mom meet your dad?
That's a great question. I didn't tell that story. Yeah, so my mom, age 35, single, taking care of her dad, my grandpa. And my grandfather was very concerned that she was going to, like, take off and he wouldn't have anyone to cook his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So a little part of the thing about my mom was that she was a podiatrist and had her own office. So she was kind of like this little independent career woman and old-fashioned Sicilian. So one of her patients was the aunt of my dad. So my dad worked on ships as a chef, and his ship docked in Boston. And he went to go visit his aunt, and his aunt introduced him to my mom. And he was there in Boston for like a couple of months. The ship was there for a couple of months. And so he kept asking my mom out. She kept saying no. She thought he was just trying to find a way to get into the country. And one day she saw him walking around town with another girl, and it totally ticked her off. So the next time he asked her out, she said yes. But eventually he had to go back to Sicily, so he said, if you love me, come marry me. And she was like, I can't, my grandfather was completely opposed to the whole thing. So she ran away from home. Oh, they just were married there. And then they came back and lived in Massachusetts. Yeah. Oh, I have a funny story I forgot to tell you guys. You want to hear it? So when I was in college, like you have a choice. Captive audience. When I was in college, I took this class, this history class on organized crime. With my boyfriend at the time, the guy who looked like when I was sitting on him. Yeah, so he and I took this class, and one night he was studying for it, and I, of course, was not because I didn't study much. And I heard him say, uh-oh. And I said, what? And he said, nothing. And I said, what? And he said, just something I read. So my last name, for those of you who don't know me, is Maione. Maione. It's not a very common name. I've never met anyone with my last name except for my family. So he said, they're talking about your last name in the book, where they're talking about the origins of the mafia in Sicily. And he's like, if we break up, like, are people going to come break my kneecaps, or what's going on? So I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, we're reading this book, Origins of the Mafia, there's our last name. Is the mafia in our family? Oh, Rosemary, you no worry about nothing. Dad? That's not an answer. Oh, Rosemary, I gotta go. Okay, bye-bye. So to this day, I can't tell you. Yeah.
No, I knew it wouldn't be hard to keep her talking. Any other questions? There's got to be more. There's some good ones here. Rosemary or the family? How did you get to Santa Barbara?
I went to UC Santa Barbara, and I never left. I don't know. School was so random for me. I just picked it out of a hat, like, basically, and here I was. Well, God had it all planned. I just didn't know it. The town that I'm from in Massachusetts is called North Andover. Last time I went back, I went out with some cousins of ours who are in their 80s, and we decided to go to Tripoli's Bakery to get a pastry. So we're driving there, and Reader, my cousin Reader, was in the car. And my cousin Frank is driving, and we pull into Tripoli's. He parks, and she says, "Fisichelli's is better." And Frank's like, "But Wahia." And she's like, "I'm just saying, Frank, Fisichelli's is better." And he's like, "But I pot." And his wife, Mary, looks at him. She goes, "Start the car. We're going to Fisichelli's." Rita's like, "I don't care what we do, but Fisichelli's is better." We went to Fisichelli's. And my favorite restaurant is Cadario. My favorite meal. Spoiled girl that I am, I would have to say lobster. Story. So I went to New York one time with a girlfriend of mine, and so one of my favorite movies of all time is Moonstruck. If you haven't seen it, you gotta go see it. Okay, so there's a bakery in Moonstruck. It's called Camerari's Bakery, and there's actually a Camerari's Bakery in New York, so I had to go there. So we went there, and I had to take a picture. There's part of the scene as you go outside and down these stairs to the where the ovens are, where Nicolas Cage is, right? So I want a picture going down to the stairs because that's where Nicolas Cage was. And so Cher was in the movie alongside Nicolas Cage, right? And she comes to the bakery looking for him. So I'm standing there posing for a picture, and this moving truck drives up with the windows rolled down and these two guys in the moving truck, and one of them goes, "Hey, look, it's Cher." And the other one goes, "Nah, she's too short to be Cher." I can keep going all night. No, you know what they tell me? You have a California accent. I'm like, have you people watched TV? I'm not the one with the accent. Oh, you have such a California accent, Rosemary. Rosemary. The emphasis on the Mary. So no, I don't fall into it. That's Sarah. I don't know. I might have to resurrect it. Communications, because I didn't really know how to talk very well. I learned a lot.
What's in that dish that they were cutting in the movie?
What is it? Oh, the timpano? Yeah, it can be different things depending on kind of the region of Italy. Theirs, I noticed, had like hard-boiled eggs in it, which is a little weird. But primarily, it's a mixture of pasta and meat sauce and cheese, and some different regions add different things, and it's my dad would make it, and he would make a mosaic design inside the pan when he baked it with roasted peppers and zucchini and eggplant. So when you flipped it over, it, and he did it kind of in a, more of a bowl, so it was like domed, and it was just gorgeous, like this mosaic of, and he would make it a lot for Christmas, of red and green patterned all over it, just gorgeous. He did such a good job with that. I have never made it. Devin. Thank you, Devin. That's so sweet. I'm going to turn off my mic so when I whisper to my friend next to me,
yeah, talking into a mic that's off. So we are just, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. We are not rushing anyone out the door. We have Katie Arnold is going to come and play a song for us, and it's a real treat.